And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. Joining me here in the studio is the director of the University of Missouri Philharmonic Orchestra, Barry Ford. Barry Ford, thanks so much for coming out.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's always great to be here.
Yeah. So we've got a performance coming up, and of course that's why you're here. It's coming up on Wednesday, the 2nd of October at the Missouri Theater at 7 o'clock. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what we can expect to see from the UPhil this year?
Oh, wow. Well, it's you'll see a lot of things from the UPhil this year. This year, our first concert is entitled Telling Stories, and that is because all of the repertoire that we'll be playing has some sort of storytelling element to it. You know, we will begin with an opera overture. Obviously, that's part of, you know, the story. Even the concerto that we're going to be playing, a world premiere by one of our own alumni, is based on Shakespearean soliloquies from Hamlet. And then we have a march from The Damnation of Faust, which, of course, you know, served this, you know, part of the story there. And that's actually a rather sordid tale. We have the Siegfried Idyll, which is more of a psychological story. It's basically a testament of love. It was a birthday gift to Richard, to Cosima, Richard Wagner's wife. I call her Liszt because she was actually Franz Liszt's daughter. Yeah. And then the Danse Bacchanal from the opera Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns. So all telling stories in some way, shape, or fashion, and quite a varied palette of music, I might add.
Very cool. Well, tell me a little bit about this piece by the premiere piece from the alumnus.
Ah, yes. Well, this is a clarinet concerto that was commissioned by Dr. Wesley Warnhoff, who is the professor of clarinet here. Aaron Mincher actually studied clarinet with him and studied composition here at Mizzou. Currently, he's at the Peabody Institute of Music.
And was a guest of this very program here during the Mizzou International Composers Festival, which he was a resident composer at.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous, yes. and I had the honor of working with him in a couple of my classes, and he also played clarinet in the University Philharmonic. He knew that I had an affinity for new music, and Dr. Warnhoff also is an avid fan of new music as well. And so he approached me, it must have been just a little over a year ago, and asked if I would be interested. And of course I said, absolutely. And we've had this on our books since then. It's like, you know, it's going to happen on the first concert in fall of 19. We'll be premiering this. And I had no idea like what he was working with creatively. And I didn't get to receive the work until, just before our summer break so I could study. And it's an absolutely fabulous work. I think it can become a part of the regular repertoire if it makes it, you know, gets the correct ears. And we're very, very pleased to be doing the premiere of this.
Very cool. Very cool. And and the other works you're doing, all great storytelling works. What overture from what opera are you starting with?
I guess it's now translated in the current vernacular, The Italian Girl in Algiers, La Italiana in Algeri, by Gioacchino Rossini. And it's a comic opera, or as he called it, a drama giocoso, so like a laughing drama. it's one of his earlier operas. I believe he was only the tender age of 24, maybe. I'm not sure. He perhaps was even young. No, he was actually 21, I believe. Yeah, he was younger than that. And this was one of his early successes that solidified his reputation as the leading opera composer in Italy. The overture, if you've heard any Rossini overture, it features all the great things you'd love to hear. Very, very, you know, lovely, elegant melodies. You'll even hear sort of his homage to Haydn in this particular overture, as he loves, you know, the element of surprise. I don't want to tell you what the surprise is because that would give it away. But it's a fabulous, fabulous piece and just great fun for the, in fact, I tell the orchestra, you cannot play this piece and not smile. I mean, you have to smile as you're playing this piece.
Wow, that's great. As for what's filling out the rest of the performances, these sound also like great pieces.
They are. Yeah. They truly are. The Hungarian March from The Damnation of Faust, sometimes called the Rokossi March, has an interesting background because it was not part of the original Faust vision as Berlioz imagined it. But he was taking that particular production to the city of Pest, which is now part of Budapest. Mm-hmm. And he was counseled by an amateur Hungarian musician that if he wanted to have success in Pest, that he should include some sort of Hungarian national folk song or something like that. And he took the advice and added this march by János Bihari called the Rokóczi March. And it's, you know, full of nationalistic fervor and such, Rokóczi being a military leader and behind the movement for Hungarian independence from Austria at the time. And as Berlioz himself recounts, he became so enamored of the music that he changed the setting of the Faust legend as he had written it from Germany to Austria so that it would have some sort of actual literary bearing on being so close to Hungary. And the advice was apparently very well placed because, as the story goes, when they first did it in Pest, they got to the coda of this particular march. They said that the shouting and affirmations from the crowd were so loud that you couldn't hear the orchestra because they were cheering so loudly already. And then they had to encore it.
Yeah, immediately.
Immediately, yes.
That's great. What a great story. Then the Camille Saint-Saëns.
Yeah, the Saint-Saëns, of course, you know, is basically from a balletic portion of that particular opera. This is, you know, the Danse Bacchanale, as the name implies, you know, this is supposed to be a drunken revel of sorts. You know, Samson is, you know, chained to the pillars of the Temple of Dagon and such, and all of the Philistines are dancing around him and such. And, you know, this particular, there's a part in the middle that if you don't understand the opera, it doesn't make any sense because all of a sudden in the middle of this dance, you get this gorgeous, beautiful singing melody. And this is really just a reprise of one of Delilah's songs, her Ode to Spring from the first act. And, you know, this is her sort of remembering again, you know, before the revels begin again. And it's just a great, great, fantastic, fun piece. And, you know, you'll hear Saint-Saëns' sort of attempt at exoticism as well, you know, by using, you know, this sort of this double harmonic minor scale type thing, you know, that's supposed to evoke, you know, Middle Eastern mysticism, although it really has nothing to do with, you know, the actual place and the use of castanets, you know, it's like, what? You know? You know, nowadays, you know, we laugh about that, but it's, you know, but then it was just, ooh, you know, that's so exotic. You know, now it's like, that's not quite authentic. But it's still just a fabulous piece, and we're looking forward to playing it.
That's great. And we look forward to seeing the show. It sounds like a great series of song choices that you've made for the UPhil for their first show. How many people you got in the UPhil this year?
We have about 70. We're larger.
Nice.
Yeah, we are larger, and I'm expecting that trend to continue. And in fact, you know, if we had gotten, you know, we could have easily have been much larger, like as many as 80 or 90, which would have caused problems because we still have just a little trouble fitting into our current rehearsal space.
Oh, wow.
But that will be taken care of next semester as we move to the new building. We're all very excited about
that.
And I've already, you know, toured the rehearsal space, and just the idea of being able to sit in a way that the orchestra needs to be able to sit is already just so enticing. You know, of course, as you probably know, I mean, just, you know, one of the hardest things to do is to get a group to develop a concept of unified sound. And that's just very difficult to do in our current setting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, Dr. Ford, thanks, of course, so much for coming out and speaking with us here this evening. Come out, see these shows. This is coming up on Wednesday, the 2nd of October at 7 p.m. at the Missouri Theater. It's the University Philharmonic under the baton of director Barry Ford at the Missouri Theater at 7 o'clock.
Pleasure. Hope to see you there.
I will be there. Thank you so much.